The internet is a very interesting place if you know where to look, and there's a Merseybeat Beagle Free Zone. Now, this is the brainchild of Kaz Whitfield Loftus, and I've got to know Kaz over the internet because obviously we both love the music, but I'm not too sure what I'm going to find out. All I know is I'm going to find out a little bit more about why the page exists, and I think there's a lot more in the story to find out about Kaz. So without any further ado, let's say good morning and welcome to Kaz.
Welcome to Kaz. How are you today?
Okay, considering. It's freezing here.
I was just going to say, I believe the weather is wonderful there.
Yeah, a little bit of imagination and we could be on the Costa Brava.
Okay, have you been to Spain at all?
Never. We did actually live in Holland for 7 years.
Yeah, lovely.
That's about it, guys.
Okay.
We've been over to Europe, though.
The early days, then. So, go back to when you first started going to the...
Oh, grief. I was... the first time I went, I think I was about 14, maybe 15, and the Undertakers were on.
Right, okay, well,
That was it. I've never actually seen the Beatles live. I've heard them, but I never ever, you know, I prefer the other ones with a bit more attitude.
Okay, well, I must admit, you know, I also didn't see the Beatles in Liverpool live, and the time I ever saw them live, she's saying Liverpool, was when they came back from the Town Hall.
Yeah.
And,
It was a case, really, of... They really were in the right place at the right time. And they were good at what they did.
I think it was the songwriting that really made them different, wasn't it?
Probably, but I mean, when you have the bands like the Blue Jeans and the Searchers, Ted Taylor and the Dominoes,
yeah.
you couldn't fault the man, you really couldn't. Mm. And then the Beatles suddenly came out with the end and the...
Teddy Taylor, obviously, you know, he tells me all the time that he's the man that sold the Beatles out of rock and roll, so, you know...
The whole band, I mean, it was rock and roll, and it was lively. And I'm not taking anything away from the Beatles. I mean, they were good at what they did.
Yeah.
I and a lot of people like me. Just think that there was better music going on at the time.
Right.
Now, much of a mouth out for even think, much of it, even the Rolling Stone had more... Go from them, you know.
I was quite lucky in the respect that I liked most things. I mean, you know, there was nothing I could say I really hated, but certainly the Stones on their first album, I thought they were brilliant. I thought the Beatles were brilliant but we also did feel a little bit of pride in the fact that they did come from the area and you know, they were having success, which up till then, you know, it all been down south, and you know, it just wasn't the same, was it really?
Yeah.
And also. Sorry, such interval was also quite good, because at least with the Beatles, you felt that, you know, like the chisels and the pointed toe shoes and the drain pipes and the Beatles.
There was, but now that we're all grown up, doesn't it look awful?
It did, but, you know, the thing is that there's never been really that that's replaced it when you think about it.
No, because it goes full circuit.
No, I don't think
it will. It goes on and around and around, it was brilliant, and that, especially that, and being, you know, from 14 onwards, it was a brilliant time, and I am one of those that actually remembers the 60s, and I was there.
So is it a little bit tongue-in-cheek when you, on your website or your Facebook pages, when you're looking at specifically trying to not make it Beatles, or are you trying to make it so that the others get the opportunity to be seen more, or were you anti-Beatles?
No, not anti-Beatles. It's just a case of Facebook to me, and I've said this a couple of times, it's starting to turn into a Beatles tribute site, because that's all I get, and mostly is from the different people that are on there that
right.
are obsessed with the Beatles.
Right.
But what I'm trying to get through is that, yeah, during that time, from the 50s to the 70s mostly, there were, and there still are, better and other bands than the Beatles, and it's proven out on the site that I set up, the Beatle Free Zone. That's my only thing with it. Anybody can come onto it, and there's, I think there's about 600 people on it now.
Yeah.
As long as you don't put a Beatles video on, find something else, and we do.
Well,
there's fabulous music going on there, really is.
Well, as you know, I particularly set out to look at all the different things that were there and that were still about, because, you know, some of them are getting on a bit now, and I think it's good for them to see that people do remember them still, you know. But it's like some of the early groups, they were, shall we say, anonymous in the respect that, for example, I used to love to see a group called The Chords. Did you ever see them?
Yeah, no, never seen, but I've heard of them.
They were particularly good. They were like little diddy men, and I used to go to the Crawl in New Brighton for one place that I used to see them quite a lot. Then of course I used to go to my door, and then, you know, I mean, obviously when I used to go to the Cavern, then it was whoever was in, but, you know, certainly at the lunchtime sessions you used to get people that were, shall we say, just going in the charts and were popping in to do a lunchtime session as well at the Cavern. So it wasn't always just sort of to do with Liverpool. It was almost like we probably didn't realise agency were all probably sending people down to do the publicity, you know.
Yeah, we got to do Jumping Hand. We got to play in the Cavern as part of the publicity that went with the record.
I know, listen, I've got to come clean very quickly and say I need to know about your back set, the basis, yeah, on what we're talking.
I was jumping ahead as we're talking about it. Well, it's what you're saying about Jinx then, because we were a firmly agent at the time.
Ah, okay, so what was the group that you were with?
With the record or beforehand?
Beforehand, then the record.
Beforehand. Well, I started singing with Land when I was 50, and I was country western.
Okay.
And we did just about every club in Liverpool and Manchester, because then the country western scene was a lot heavier than it is now.
Right. And what was the name of your first band?
The Renos.
Okay.
Called the Renos.
Did you ever come to the Tennessee 3? Okay, now I played a lot then at the old Tavern in New Brighton.
Yeah, and Walters.
Yeah, and the Stamblers. Actually, I'm a big fan of music as well. That sort of period when, you know, some of us are just absolutely amazing, aren't they?
Oh, it's the feeling that used to fascinate me, just watching them feeling and that type of thing, you know. But the Kentuckians that used to watch them, and we were on with quite a few of them actually, but
yeah,
it was always Hank Walters. He sort of, you know, you think on, I was 15 or 16 at the time. He probably was in his 30s, but to me, he was 10.
Yeah.
And I used to call him my granddaddy.
Well,
I'm sure he wasn't that old.
Was his group, or was it Cy Tucker, that has come across to Benidorm and was there as a comedian fairly recently? Yeah, it get quite claustrophobic at times. In the middle of talks, you're surprised, God, that's so and so, and you haven't seen them in this particular life. Tell us about your group then.
Well, that's the country western band here in the post, and it is true that once you get bitten, that you carry on and you carry on and you. And I saw an advert in the paper in the Echo. Band wanted a female singer. Now, at that time, this is 1966. What they wanted to do was to go to Germany and do the Basis. You have to have a female singer,
right,
for obvious reasons. I think that's a female singer. And I auditioned with them. And somewhere along the line, and I never knew how it happened, we ended up having a record deal. Now, as I said before, the agency was in Burnley.
Right.
And they got us in with the record. The choice that we had as an A-side was either Cry My Eyes Out or Tears on My Pillow. And I plumped the Tears on My Pillow because I'd heard Little Anson singing it, and
right,
that's the only reason. It's respect, I can feel the side was better now, but never mind. And that was it. We went to London to record it. Now, the man that wrote the B-side, Johnny Stewart, I think his name was also with Rovers.
Right, okay.
And you can hear a little bit of the beat remind me of a Walk of the song, the list to the track. But yeah, we got to meet the Walkers as well, we were there.
Well, you know Gary then, because Gary from the Walkers, I've done a podcast with him, which was nice. He seemed a nice man.
I've I've been in touch with Gary via Facebook, because I the first line of the song, "You don't remember me, but I remember you."
Right.
And I said to him, I said, "I don't know whether you do remember me," and he said that he did. And the storyline at the time, because they make up all kinds of things, you know, with the press.
Yeah.
And what they had, the storyline in the paper, the publicity, was that I had taken a tape recording to the Empire in Liverpool when the walk up and was wrong. And I pushed past the door, found the dressing room, and I knocked on it, and I asked them if they would listen to my tape. And initially, they said no. And Gary comes to the door, and he said, "Oh, come on, give girl a chance, see what it sounds like." And that was it. And he sort of took the record away. Now, it's 40, 50 years nearly down the road, so I'd say that was it. It went on from there, and then they tried to make out in the paper that there was a bit of a relationship that was going to go on between Gary and I. We went out for dinner and all that stuff. That never come. We did go out for the lunch, and it was with the PA guests.
Right. And so what was the name on the label of that particular song? Was it your name?
Carol and the Memories.
Carol and the Memories.
Yeah. The band actually was called the Five Aces originally.
Yeah.
And it stayed that way while we were in Germany. It stayed that way. But apparently at the time there was a band in America, but also called the Five Aces. So from a legal point of view, we had to change it. And they wanted originally to call me Margaret and the Memories, and I thought, where to go?
Isn't it weird the way that, you know, they are control freaks, aren't they, you know?
Yeah. They did, I mean, the thing that they did in the end, which... many regrets, but they split the band after the release of the record, which apparently we had got into the top 100, albeit the low side of it, and we never ever got anything from it as such. But then they decided that they didn't need the band, and that I could go on my own, and they tried to do a similar thing, as they did at Lulu, and they took away her band, and they sent her out on her own, and I hated it, I really did hate it, because I always think if you've got a band back of you, it's a lot more comfortable, because if you make a mistake, they can cover you.
Oh, absolutely. I do guitar vocals, and I know exactly where you're coming from, because at times when, you know, at least because I've got a backing tape, or I can sit back and just let me see if this is right. Okay, I hope I can hear it loud enough for you. Just stand by.
That's me.
Did you hear that?
Oh, I was only a baby left.
Ah, isn't that lovely? Well, look, you see, the thing is, I never know what's going to happen when I start doing my podcast, because normally I try and get as much research as I can in beforehand, but I've just been so busy recently, I haven't had time to listen to that, and that sounded lovely. It was really, really nice.
It's really 60s, isn't it?
It is.
It's good.
Yeah.
The one claim to say that I've got, apart from the wall, my name on the wall outside, I've got one to say, and there's a Kylie Minogue and the two female singers that I've recorded that song.
Oh, well done.
Two bands that have actually did it, which I know. I read one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the Mojo's actually.
Right.
Somebody else has done it anyway, I thought it was the song that they generally gave out to.
I had a nice podcast interview with Paul Marsden. Did you ever meet up there?
Yeah, I've met her all the time.
Yeah. Because of the I get very enthusiastic about things I'm always working on, and, you know, she sent me a copy of one of the old Beatles songs that she'd done. Sorry to mention the Beatles, but it was a version that she'd done of one of the Beatles songs, and it was lovely. It was really, really lovely. And I think this is totally in of what we were talking about, you know,
there were tons of them, and I mean, again, Cilla Black was in the right place at the right time, and I love Cilla Black to bits. I think she's fabulous. But there was a band in Liverpool at the time called the Carols, and their lead was, I think, Pip Brown.
Right.
She has got a voice to die for.
Yeah.
And the fans were fabulous. And this is what I mean. I put it on the Beatles 3 page at one point. And this is what I mean about there being other fabulous bands and musicians in Liverpool.
Right.
I'm nothing against the Beatles, but just take 5 minutes out and listen to everything else that's going on there. It surprised a lot of people.
It's funny, because I come from a number of different sort of ways of looking at this, and for example, I've got a friend who's called Tony, and he wrote all the hits for the Brotherhood of Man, and it's like, because I know some of the songwriters now, some of the great songwriters like Les Reed and people like Tony Hiller, you tend to take more of an interest in the whole package, not just the hit makers only. And you know, as you say, it does seem a shame that a lot of the people that were there didn't get quite enough, shall we say, respect for what they did.
Yeah, the one, I mean, going back to the beginning and that, it sounds as if this was probably just pushed one, but the one I could never understand was King Size Taylor and the Dominoes. I will man, we're not up there with the top. I will never be able to get my head around that.
In between the lines, meeting up with Brian Epstein, I think that was a key thing, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think if he'd got in, well, should I say, really get on as well as get in, you know, then I think maybe things might have been different. But of course, he has gone on to make a very interesting life for himself over in Germany, hasn't he?
Oh, he's famous.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I mean, his son has got a band that's play over here at the moment.
Yeah.
They're excellent, and you know, and even I mean, today you can go out on the what they call the Beatles weekend now, with the streets to start off with.
Yeah.
But you go there and you look at these kids today, and there's some really good stuff going on out there.
Well, I've got to meet a Liverpool lad tomorrow. I only know him as George, and he was with Penny Lane.
I don't know, not heard them.
Yeah, well, apparently when John Lennon was shot, the producers of something on Granada TV got in touch with his band, and I'll find the story tomorrow and I'll have a podcast on that, which should be worth listening to, you know. Are you doing any singing at the moment?
No, I gave up totally about 2 years ago, because my husband and I now, we've reached the how can I put this?
Well, you don't put it too strictly.
Well, look, the royal position of being grandparents.
Right, but I mean, you've got a very young voice, which tends to give you the idea that you've got a young way of looking at life, you know. And
well, yeah, I mean, it was a case of, I always tell myself this, that when it started to become an effort to go out on the weekend, then back off. I still sing. We've got a friend that we go down and we just jam in the house. But as for going out into clubs, and there's not that many clubs and pubs that you can go into over here now. As you know, it is a difficult.
Well, that's why I went away. I mean, first of all, we went down to Cornwall. We had 18 to 20 years in Cornwall. Then we came across to Spain. And, you know, just basically, at least with tourists, you do have people that want to go out and listen to singers and comedians and everything, you know. Yeah. Let me go right back then. So, your first group that you saw were the Undertakers. Who else did you like to go and see?
Lee Kerser.
Yeah.
Swing and Blues, yeah. Jerry and the Pacemakers. I was the exception to the rule. I really was with that, because I thought the Jerry and the Pacemakers were. I like Jerry, actually.
Yeah.
And I still do to this.
Because they were really bigger than the Beatles in the first poll, weren't they?
Yeah. What I have always liked about Jerry Marsden and the other bands as well is that when they got famous, they stayed here.
Mm.
They stayed, and Jerry only lives down the road from us, as you know, so, you know.
Yeah.
And he still does his tours. He does a solid silver 60s tour.
Yeah.
And he's still around. The Searchers are still playing. Blue Jeans, they split up about 2 years ago, but I mean, I'm still in touch with the Phil Constant, and not heard from Ray Ennis for ages.
Yeah.
And I have actually sung with the Blue Jeans. That's another claim to fame.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Well, you have them.
All these people I've made podcasts with over the years. In fact, if you go to my website and look for the Merseybeat page, I think you might be surprised who I've actually talked to, and there's some good stories in there, you know.
Oh, no, Jim, did you have one on, was it yesterday when I read it, The Prowlers?
Yeah.
Because my husband, he wasn't part of the band, but he stood in a couple of gigs with The Prowlers years ago.
Oh, lovely.
Bass player was, I don't know what happened to him.
So your husband was a musician, was he?
Yes, bass player.
And who was he with?
When I met him, he was with a band called The Image. When I met him, and then we got married, and he just sort of tagged on to all the bands that we set up as we went along. About four or five bands going over the years, but yeah, he's a bass player.
Would you have been around the Merseyside area when I was on Radio Merseyside, about 72 to 74?
We got married in 69, so yeah, we'd have been playing them.
Yeah.
We went to Holland in 1979, we were there at 85.
Right.
So that was just switched on from everything that was there. And then when we came back, we started off, about 18 months later, we started up with another band. I think we called ourselves Carousel then, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Why is it, do you think, that the scene has changed so dramatically? Because when you look now, I know when I was doing my cabarets in on the Merseyside area, you know, you could see things beginning to change dramatically, and it was almost like people didn't seem to want to go out and pay to see acts anymore, you know, it was really quite sad.
I think, and I've always thought this actually, when people go into clubs, no, or pubs for that matter, and if you're doing cover songs, 9 out of 10 people expect that to sound exactly the same as the record.
Yeah.
And it's impossible, because you've not got the equipment, you've not got the sound effects, anything like that. So what you get, which is something that we were always 100% live. We never used backing tapes, we never used backing beatbox, or anything like that.
Yeah.
We had What you saw was what you got.
Right.
But people, did you get in the record? I can't do it.
Well, I did Roscoe. I went across and did it in Doncaster, and I came back as, you know, Doncaster's local DJ. No, I wasn't really, but from there, I started doing Reese's Ballroom in Clayton Square. Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing was, I because I'd been on Radio 1, I was like the host, and the groups that were coming in were the groups that had a hit on the radio, you know. And 9 times out of 10, the kids did not want to listen to them. Once they'd heard the one hit, they just didn't appeal to the music that we were playing, because we were doing all the James Brown stuff and the Tamla Motown stuff, and, you know, the sort of stuff that the group seemed to want to do was nothing like that, you know.
No, I feel a little bit sorry for kids today, because I think that we, and I mean this collectively, as a generation, I think we are the last generation that could actually now sit down and still enjoy our music.
Yeah.
As we did when we were teenagers, because of the sound effects.
Yeah.
You with me? But we will still get up and play 60s music, and it will sound just as good now with a band, the 4 or 5 people, as it did 50, 60 years ago. Whereas today, there are so many electronic effects that go into music and all the rest of it that can't be reproduced, and it won't be able to be reproduced in another 30, 40 years.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I can see what you say. That's absolutely right.
But I mean, it's and I think, you know, but again, where you're saying that the kids were not that interested in it. I mean, as a teenager, would you have been interested in sitting down and to, you know, I don't know, think of it? Because I know I was. When I was 15, 16, it was, yeah. I mean, I used to get with my dad, and I can hear myself up and now. I can hear my mother and father speaking through me.
Yeah.
But I can remember my dad when, you know, Top of the Pops would come on, and he'd say, "Stop, that's something, Crosby." A good thing. Listen to Donald Pierce, with the Donald Pierce,
yeah,
by Battle and Brook and all that, and it'd be, yeah.
I know when we used to go out and do the cabin stomp, I mean, when you think back, that was a little bit daft, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't up the best of dancers. Do you ever come across Paul Melba, the impressionist?
His name is Bell, actually.
Yeah.
Because we did one book that we had was in the Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And there was a comedian, and that rings a bell. So, yeah, we might have been there, actually.
That'd be around the time when Pete Price was the compere, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he's sort of always been there.
Yeah.
That's making him sound as if he's 110, but
well, he's getting on a bit now.
Along with Billy Butler.
Yeah, well, you see, I was part of that trio in actual fact, because Pete Price went on to the Shakespeare, and he tended to go to try and do his cabarets then. I worked on Radio Merseyside with Billy Butler and Eddie Hemmings. There's one other fellow called Brian Smart there when I started.
Yeah, that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
We did the Wookiee Hollow as well. Did you ever go up there?
Yes, I'm just trying to remember the name of the compere. Ronnie Concha was in there at the time. Do you remember that name?
No. I mean, being a kid, 18, 19, I mean, they were there.
Yes.
Taking me notice of them, suddenly.
Yeah. If you go away from Liverpool now, and all your musicians that you've met and liked, who were your favourites over the years that you would say, yeah, they were up there as my favourites? Who would you think?
Scott Walker.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Scott Walker. Yeah. He's got the most fabulous, rich voice ever.
Yeah.
Scott Walker. And I did like, as I got older, I did like Frank Sinatra. Female thing I always did, and it was the very first song that I ever sang on stage with a band was Force Pieces.
Right. Lovely song. Yeah.
And Willie Nelson and all that. And that's where I sort of go back to, but getting into modern type music, yeah, it would be Scott Walker. For the rest, it would be country.
Right. Okay, let's go to country. Who do you like in the country genre?
Willie Nelson. Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline,
yeah,
Hank Wolf,
yeah,
all of them. I love them. And I like the country music that was being performed up until the 70s, and that where it was proper country music, as I call it,
yeah.
and not the country rock that you get now. But the, you know, I mean, you could really, you could listen to a Hanson LP.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't fit. But you can listen to Hank Snow and really feel like putting your head in the gas oven afterwards. The songs were all full of, you know, dying and leaving. And there's one that is the letter edged in black, which really does make you want to finish it all off. Hank Rothman, that's another one. He's Dave.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on.
I think practically all those, even as you were saying the names, certain songs were, you know, Please Help Me, I'm Falling, for Hank Rothman, and, you know, Don't You Know It's the End of the World, Dusty Days, and all that sort of stuff, you know. To be fair to Billy Butler, he did an awful lot for the country music scene, actually.
He still does. I mean, he puts some fabulous stuff on now on a day-to-day, but I don't know where he gets half the stuff from. And they're really good, you know. It's but then he's a character in his own right.
So now, where do you see your Mersey Beat Pickle Free Zone going then?
Well, it's running its job now. I mean, I started it off and did all kinds of music, but yeah, there's a couple of blokes in DJs house. I think there's a piece to do one. They put records on all the time.
Yeah.
There's Ted, he puts his news on, whatever's going on with the shows and what have you. And yeah, as you say, there's over 600 now, so most people will put their own record on. And it doesn't matter whether it is from the 50s or 60s, they can go off and I put one on of Bruno Mars. I did that a couple of months ago. Just so that people realise that there was life after the Beatles.
Yeah.
Before, and even during, there were other bands, and they sort of got mixed up in this.
Yeah.
The mayhem that was going on there.
Well, look, I'll get this up onto the internet later today, and if you get anybody that you feel it would be nice to help make a podcast with, you know, if you just give us a bell or drop me a line on it, Facebook or something like that, and then...
I don't know the phone number for you, but and I do know that his dad, I think, was with the Casuals. But there is a band, they're on my page... and it's the new Casuals.
Okay, I've seen that. Okay. Yeah.
Spelled with a K. They are excellent, and I have heard them. And they've been around quite a bit. And I'm sure it was Lee with them. I'm sure his dad had something to do with the original Casuals.
Okay, well, I'll chase that one through, and... basically, I'll send you the link later today as to where this will be. Let's see, have we got a photograph of you? Is there a photo on Facebook?
There is, but not with any of the bands. Well, the last band I was with, I think there's a couple on there.
Okay, I'll try and pick up one of them.
I've got them on my page. I've got different photos.
All right, well, thanks so much for your time.
It was a pleasure to speak to you.
And
I do hope the weather stays nice for you.
Oh, right, it will do. It will do.
we're off next week up to Berwick-on-Tweed. We're having a week up there. We're on the station there, so it's a boat hole.
Okay, and I'll put your song on the end of this interview, which will make it nice.
Okay.
All right, Carol.
We'll be speaking to you.
Thanks, Carol. Absolutely lovely. Have a great day.
Bye. Bye.